Good morning, and welcome to our live service ever. This is we're making history this morning as we broadcast live on Zoom through our Facebook page, YouTube, our service together. It's good to see you all joining us, and I know people will be joining us during this broadcast as we remember today and we carry on through the theme of God's promises. And so this morning, we'll focus on a very secret promise, a promise of peace in the midst of very difficult and challenging circumstances that we live through. And so let me open the meeting this morning with a few words from God's scriptures from Psalm 119. A few verses that remind us of God's hope, of his promises, of his faithfulness, of his provision and presence with us. This is where God's word says, "Your word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Sustain me, O Lord, sustain me according to your promise, and I shall live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life." Oh, wonderful, as how wonderful it is to hear God's word of promise, of hope, of his faithfulness, of his presence with us this morning. And we hope and we pray that God will bless us as we meet together, as we worship him with him, as we worship him in this way, all of us through this medium, through this broadcasting. I hope and pray that the Lord will bless you, will speak to you this morning, and in his faithfulness, he will really, really also challenge each one of us. So let me just open the whole meeting in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to come together from our own homes, from different lands, from different places, different countries, different races, come in this way and worship you. We thank you that you are with us, that we are not bound to one building, but we can be together from our own places. Your Holy Spirit works in church as much as it works just now in our own homes, where we are together, yet separate. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives this morning, that we may hear clearly your word of promise to us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. And so we'll sing a song. We'll get Renee and Daniel, who will play for us a hymn and a song, rather, that introduces us to this theme of hope, a theme of love, a theme of God's faithfulness in these very challenging times. In Christ alone, Daniel and Renee.
Is golden star, this solid ground, there's
So we now turn to God's word yet again, and we have a reading that describes to us this incredible secret promise that God gives to those who trust in him, who believe in him, who faithfully follow him. And he also tells us the secret of how we can get this incredible promise of peace. Philippians 4, 4, 9. And James is going to read God's word to us.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends with all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whether it is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Amen. And so the next song and everything, in fact, what we do this morning in our time of worship together, it is based and framed by this incredible passage. Rejoice, pray, bring your request. And this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to spend some time in prayers of intercession, where we bring not only ourselves and our families before the Lord, but also we bring the world out there in which we live, the circumstances that we go through, and even the hopes and the fears that we all have. And to do that, Karen, our church secretary, is going to lead us in those prayers of intercession. So let's pray.
Let's pray for our church and for the world. Loving God, our Father, we come to you to pray for others, for our world, and for the church. You gave your only Son because you love the world so much. We bring the world to you at this time. We ask that all would know that you are here. We pray for those who are anxious, those who are scared about the pandemic, those who worry about the future. We pray for those who live in areas where there is fighting, for those who do not have enough to eat and don't know where the next meal is coming from. We pray for those who have had to leave their homes because of war. Please break down the barriers between people, barriers of fear and suspicion and hatred, and heal the human family of its divisions. And we pray for those who are working to help these people, those working in refugee camps, those trying to bring peace between nations. We pray for our country, for the divisions here, for the uncertain future, for those who are worried about their jobs, about illness. Please support them with your strength and give them hope and courage. We continue to pray for all those who are working hard, for all those in the NHS, for those who care for others, for those who still serve us in the shops, all those, Lord, who may have fears, but for whom we are eternally grateful that they continue to do their jobs. We pray for our own families, Lord. We pray for your protection and your support. We pray that our children will not grow up with fears and anxieties about the future. We pray for those who are ill. And Lord, we commit the church to you. We commit our church to you. We commit all the churches in our country and throughout the world. We pray, Lord, that the church may be an encouragement to others in these times and be able to share the good news of Jesus. We pray that all of us may know that we are continually held by God's love in these uncertain times. We offer these our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much to James and to Karen for God's words, his reading, and also for the prayers this morning. And so in our next step, in our next move towards God's intimacy and intimacy with Him in our worship, we'll sing a song that makes this more personal to us. Yet not I, but Christ in me. And this is our prayer today, that even through the service and everything that we do, we come to glorify God. We come to bring Him glory that is due only to His name, the name of Jesus Christ. And so Daniel and Renee they're going to lead us again into this wonderful song of worship, Yet Not I, But Christ. Words those are, and thank you to Renee and Daniel for singing Thank to mom and dad there in the background, singing with them and providing their backup voices there. LBC's got talent, I tell you that. Yeah, the Voice UK will be very proud of hearing them singing so beautifully like this. Listen to those words that we just sang. I don't know whether you had the time to reflect and meditate on them, but to this I hold, he says, my shepherd will defend me. To the deepest valley he will lead. On the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but I through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. Oh, what incredible, powerful words in this song. And as they were singing this morning, they just ministered to my spirit. Incredibly, very, very powerful. Who says that the Holy Spirit cannot work through multimedia and stuff like that? And that's a lesson I personally had to learn in the last few weeks and months as such. And the Lord has taught me greatly, a great deal about allowing him to work in through me and through us, of course, as a church, and to one another through the use of this multimedia. Hey, what would have done without this multimedia? And so from that kind of reflective song, that incredible, beautiful, yet not I, but Christ in and through me, I'd like to share with you a few words, again, on this wonderful promise that God gives to his people, the promise of peace. If you remember, started a few weeks ago, in fact, a few months ago, as we look at Psalm 23 and a few promises that God showed to us through that, and how his presence is with us even to the darkest valleys of our lives, how his blessing is following us in the midst of even our enemies and our relationships, and how we incredibly have a future with him. And then we carry that in the last few weeks, looking at how God deals with our unforgiveness, how God deals with our loneliness, and again with our future and even with resentment. And so this morning, I like to look at how God deals with our worry, with our anxiety. Have you noticed that the word that has been most used in the last 8 months since the lockdown, 7 months or so, has been announced this week as the word lockdown? This is the word that people, they say, use at least 24 times a week, but many use it over 70 times a week. The word is lockdown, and that conjures up a lot of images as we speak about lockdown. Lockdown, for many of us, has been loneliness, has been being stuck in our homes, being remote from our families and from our children and from our grandchildren and so on. Lockdown is not a nice word. It brings with it all sorts of memories, and it will bring for the weeks and probably for many of us years to come. And one of the things that they said on the radio the other day was the lockdown for many people has been compared to worry, anxiety, fear, and huge amount of loneliness. From all those, I just wanted to look at anxiety and worry this morning and how this lockdown does affect us, but also not just to look at the statistic, but also to see how God, through his promise of peace, says you will encounter my peace in the midst of these very challenging times. So what are you worried about? Worry about family? Worry about finance? Worry about fellowship? I don't know what you worry about, but surely worry is something natural. Is something that if we don't worry, probably we know human beings. But listen, in the Daily Telegraph, a few weeks ago, they put a list of what people are worried about and anxious about in this lockdown time. And number 10 was diet. Listen to that, diet. Worry about diet. They put too much weight on. And number 9 was job security. And we know that people have lost and are still losing their jobs. Then it came at number 8, it was being able to cope with the repayments of mortgage and rent or whatever. Number seven, credit cards. Number six, low energy level. People worry that they become lethargic, that they become unwell and so on. Number five was overdrafts and loans. People worry that they will not be able to make their payments, again, like with a mortgage. Number four was overall fitness, that people will not be as fit. Well, let me tell you, I think we've been, we are probably one of the fittest nations on earth now. Everybody's on their bikes, they run everywhere. Wherever you go at lunchtime and you see people are walking fast, or running, or cycling, or we become, I think, a bit more of a healthier nation. Number three, worry about financial future. Number two is the worry of growing old. And do you know what number one is? Number one is overweight. Overweight. Well, this is what the Daily Telegraph tells us, that are the main anxious worries at the moment. Here, two, even three observations about this list that was in the Telegraph. Number one, those are really divided in two issues, health and finance. If you look at those 10 things, they are health and finance related. Number two, they are very universal human concerns. As I said, if we don't worry, it means that there is an issue, there is a problem. We are human. And number three, there are issues that will be with us as long as we'll live. If we don't live, we are not alive. That's the only time when we're not gonna worry as such. You are going to have to really not be around in order not to worry anymore, any longer. So adding to this list of 10, the fact that we are in lockdown, the fact that we have coronavirus around, no wonder that we have trouble sleeping, no wonder that we feel under so much pressure, no wonder we find it hard to concentrate. People don't concentrate more than 10, 20 minutes at a lot. That's a good indication for me to try and make the sermon as short as possible. The same survey that has been done in the Telegraph asked how much time people spend worrying. And this is what they found out. 10 years ago, in 2010, each week we spent 14 hours worrying. Since the lockdown, we spent 27 hours worrying, more than double. That equals 744 hours of worry each year. That's 10 years ago. And that's over 1,600 times this time now in the lockdown, which in turns turns into 45,000 hours of worry over a lifetime. During the lockdown, that would have been increased phenomenally. And that equals 1,885 days in a lifetime we spend doing nothing but worry, being anxious, which means that we spend 5 years of our lives captured by worry. If we put a lockdown that is double that, that's nearly 10 years now, I would imagine. So for most people, it's not just one thing, but many things wrapped up together that brings worry, brings anxiety, brings fear into our lives. Worry is excess concern over the challenges of life. That's how I would define worry. The key, obviously, is the word excessive. It's a very excessive and probably sometimes unhealthy thinking that we do into our minds about things that will never, probably never ever happen. Yet we like worrying. We like chewing them and munching on them and reflecting on things like that. And sometimes when we worry, it shows that probably we need to check our trust. We don't trust God as much as we used to. Probably something else in our lives has taken his place, the place of our trust and our faith in him. We allow the circumstances that we go through to replace our faith and our trust in God at this time. So worry is, if I may go as far as to say that worry is a form of idolatry in a sense, because when you worry, the thing you are worried about has basically replaced our trust in God or even God himself. You can worry or you can pray, but you can't do both at the same time. So in order to focus our thoughts on this, I'd like us to look a little bit now into Philippians 4, 6, 7. And I'll finish this message. I'll be very quick through it in about 10 minutes or so. Philippians 4, 6, 7. So it says this, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, and I like to highlight that word in there in verse 6, that first part of verse 6 that you see now on your screen. Do not be anxious about anything. The key word here is anything. Anything. Do you remember where Paul was when he wrote this letter? Paul was in prison and he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, and it's the letter called the letter of joy. He is in very difficult circumstances. King Nero at the time could have killed him at any time, and he was actually awaiting his death in a sense. Yet he writes these things and he says, do not be anxious about anything. Listen, the article that was in the Daily Telegraph the other week, he said that 90% of population of the world at the moment worries about coronavirus. How do we get in that elusive 10% who doesn't worry about coronavirus or finance or anything else for that matter, excuse me? You are to worry about nothing because you pray about everything. You are to stay faithful to God's word because you know God has promised your protection, God has promised your provision, God has promised to be with you through all of this. Let me put it this way, worry weakens our faith. That's what it does. Worry weakens our faith, encourages our fears that we already nurture day by day, and destroys our joy. And something else that it does, and this is where it really affects our relationship with God, is that increases our doubt. Worries weakens our faith, encourages our fears, destroys our joy, and increases our doubt. Worst of all, worry is contagious. It's a very contagious virus, even more than corona, and it spreads very, very quickly. It puts a question mark where God actually puts a period. It's like almost like a rocking chair. You know those nice rocking chairs that some of us have at home? You rock up and down, low and high, and you don't get anywhere with it. And it's the same with worry. It chews without actually swallowing whatsoever. And so Paul says to us, there is this injunction, don't worry, do not worry. And then he comes and he gives us an instruction. I want you to do something, he says. And in the second part of verse 6, he says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul gives four specific instructions for how to deal with our worries, how to deal with our anxiety, with our fears. Number one is this, pray. Prayer always begins with your desire, not with your words. Prayer always begins with a desire to talk to God, to speak to him, to share with him what you go through, to build on this relationship of intimacy that you have with God. This is how prayer begins, not with words, always with a desire, because we can pray and we can utter words that we don't mean, we don't know what we say in prayers, but we need to learn to pray when we pray. That's what I want to say. And Romans 8:26 reminds us of that when we cannot pray, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid to show us and help us and aid us in our prayers. He prays for us. The slightest whisper on earth is shouted in the courts of heaven. That's when the Holy Spirit prays for us. That's when you pray and you cannot even have words to say something. Number two, Paul says, pray and petition. With prayer and petition. Petition, what is a petition? It's like a list that you make when you're in very desperate circumstances. It's a document you sign when changes need to be made. In this verse, it means begging God for what you need. It has me to think of prayer this way. If Jesus were standing here, If Jesus were standing in your room where you are now, and you want to ask him something through prayer, what would you ask him for? What would you say to him? I imagine if the Lord will say to you, Emilian, just tell me what you want me to do. I would probably come with all sorts of list of things or whatever. But I remember a passage from Mark 10:15 where God blesses the blind man because he wanted, and he was very specific in his prayer to the Lord, he wanted to have his sight restored. And he says, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. If you need a miracle, ask for one. There's no extra charge for large requests from the Lord. He doesn't charge whatsoever for our prayers, whether they are small or whether they are big. Certainly, Paul mentions thanksgiving, how important this is in our prayer, how important this is to be graceful, grateful people in times of difficult circumstances. This is the greatest and most important antidote to worry, to anxiety, to fear in our lives. Pray, when you pray, with thanksgiving in your hearts. Why it's so important is because worry and gratitude cannot coexist. They cannot exist together. Worry will drive out every fear and everything else from our life. Yet gratitude will drive out worry. So if worry drives out gratitude, then gratitude will instore into our lives joy, trust in God. It will restore our faith in him again. And how do we get this gratitude in our lives? Is trusting again into his promises, number one. And this is how we started the service this morning. Looking at God's word and the promises that he has for his people. But also sometimes it's spend time with grateful people rather than grumpy people. You know, there are people in our lives, work where we are, wherever, that are always grumpy. There's nothing about gratitude in their lives. There's no iota of being content with anything in life. And it helps to spend time with people who are really, really grateful, full of gratitude in their lives. So trusting God's promises, spend time with people who are grateful. Ingratitude destroys the joy of the Lord, but thanksgiving brings back trust in God. And so the fourth one is the Paul mentions there is request. This broad word covers everything in life. It includes both our daily and weekly and monthly prayers, as much as our little prayers and big prayers. Bring all the requests before the Lord. God wants to hear them all because he wants to answer them all in his own way through his own wisdom. Present your requests to God. There's no detail too small for the Lord because he reads the fine print of your life and he will answer those prayers according to his will. As we obey, as we trust, as we believe in those promises of his, then this is the secret that comes from his word, from his incredible faithfulness to his people. And so discerning is the key for us to live a life of peace. From Philippians 4:7 offers us this wonderful promise, and the peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you take your burdens to the Lord, he replaces your worries with something much greater. It's peace that passes all human understanding. We cannot describe that peace unless we have that faith in God. We cannot understand that peace unless we trust him with our daily bits and pieces, with our daily life, with our whole life. We cannot describe that peace from God unless we trust him deeply with it. And a key word here, again, is the word guard. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. That word guard was used for soldiers standing at the gate or at the big gate of prison so the prisoners will not come out. When we follow God's plan, God sends his peace to stand sentry, to stand right at the door of our heart, and no worry, no anxiety, no fear will come in. As we pray, God will come in to bring his peace, and he will set it there at the door of our hearts, that will guard them against all the arrows of the evil one, against all the worries and anxieties of this world. That as we trust in him, we are reminded of the promises of his love, of his care, of his faithfulness to us all. We can't define this peace, but we know what it is. When peace guards your heart, you stay calm when the whole world goes nuts around you. When peace stands sentry, you can have joy even when your heart is breaking. God's peace delivers you from bitterness, from despair, from anger, from disappointment, from greed, from pessimism. When God's peace is a sentry right there at the door of your heart, even when I lose my job, even when I don't have enough money, peace of God will be my rock, will be the promise on which I stand and live. Are you worried about your children? Are you worried about the test from and the results from your doctor? Are you worried about the future? God's peace will guard your heart. We do not have a problem, especially as Christians, of casting our burdens and our worries and our fears onto the Lord. But our problem is that we keep pulling those burdens back, like a fisherman who throws his rod and then he reels it back in. Excuse me. And that's what we do all the time. But hard times really reveal who we trust in and really who we are. In times like this, we discover that we can have God's peace. Anyone can trust God in good sunny days when everything goes right, when the church is open, when the kids go to school and are having all A all the times. But it's hard to trust in God and to understand what he is doing when you lose your job, when you have done, when you don't have finance and money to make ends meet and so on. It's hard even when you lose someone. But the world wants to know if what we believe is real, and the world watching us, how we react now when we are with the back against the world, when we are at difficult times and we go to difficult circumstances. Can you handle hard times? Will you walk in worry, or will you allow God's peace to guard the door of your heart? We have a great future because we have a great heart, a very great God who guards the doors of our hearts. Let me just pray, and I hope that the Lord will bless you through this message this morning. And if you don't find peace in your heart, I pray that this prayer will guard you as you pray to God yourself before him, that you will know his love and his peace. Let's just pray together. Lord, we do not pray for a lighter load, but we ask for stronger shoulders. Deliver us from worry that strangles us, from cares that consumes us, and from anxiety that overwhelms us. Help us to cast our cares on you and then leave them there. Give us grateful hearts because we know you will carry our burdens so that we don't have to. We thank you for Jesus who carried all our burdens, who said, "Come to me who are heavy laden and I will give you peace." We thank you for that promise. Lord, help us take those worries and anxious thoughts that we have and bring them to the cross of Jesus and leave them there for good, knowing that we can trust in your promise of provision, love, and reassurance. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your promise of peace. May we become people of prayer and not of worry. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to thank you for watching and joining us for this, our first ever live service on Zoom, on the internet. We made history, a Sunday to remember, this 15th of November, indeed. And as I pray that the Lord will bless you this morning, will be with you, and You will walk in his space to the power of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that he will build his kingdom into your own life, into your own family, a kingdom of love, of peace, of witness, of strength, of faithfulness. And so this is the theme of our next song, Build This House, almost like a prayer song that Renee and Daniel are the leaders before the Lord this morning. And then we'll come back and we'll have God's blessing to you. Build This House, Renee, Daniel, and the Harper family. Thank you very much again to the Harper family who have led us wonderfully this morning in worship. Thank you again for joining us. I'd like to apologize for my coughing fits during the sermon. It's not a COVID, I can reassure you, it's an asthma thing that I get from time to time, especially at this time of the year. And so let me give you this blessing to God and to be the guardian of your heart as you go through the days ahead, this week, weeks and months ahead. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray at all times. Bring your requests before the Lord. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to all people. Rejoice in all things. And to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you and be with you. And may in everything you do bring glory to his name. Amen.